Lori, and if I could have your help on that, that would be great. So this morning I'm going to talk about a continuation of what we have been talking about. We're talking about the church, and we've mentioned that we are a called people. Christians are called people. It's a calling. It infuses every aspect of our lives. It involves a reward with God in all of eternity. It involves a relationship with Christ. It involves a responsibility to walk in the pathway Christ has carved out for us. And then we looked last week at the idea that it also calls for a relationship with each other. That we are bound to each other as well. We are not an army of one. We're part of the body of Christ. We're joined to Christ. If we are Christians, we're joined to Christ and to each other. Not one or the other, but both. And so here we are, we're joined to each other, but yet at the same time we're told, well, you know, we've got to put up with one another and preserve the unity that Christ gave us, and that we have these differences. And we have all of these different functions. And today I'd like to talk about these different functions, even though we're united. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll start with this passage, starting in verse 11. I preached on this a couple of years ago when I preached through Ephesians, but now I'm going to do it topically. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." That's a mouthful. Now I'm just going to zero in on some of these ideas and develop them. If I may, I've heard some people say, and I've said it myself at times, I hate organized religion. And you think about organized religion, you think about hierarchies, and you think about power struggles, and you think about us and them, and you think about politics in religion. Don't you? We think about organized religion in general, and struggles, and all of the things that politics involves. And if somebody says that, you know, I say, well, you ought to try us. We're not very organized. You'll probably like us. Well, in some ways, it's true. Well, in some ways, it's true. Some ways, we need to be more organized. But in other ways, we're not supposed to be that organized. There's an aspect of this. There's an aspect of an organization and a picture of a church as an organization that leads us astray. We do need some organization. God gave us some organization. Even in this passage, He talks about organization, doesn't He? There is one body, but we're all these different members. There's some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and they're working with the congregation in order to develop them to do the work of service. So there's a certain amount of organization going on here. There are different people doing different stuff. And then a little bit further down here, in verse 16, it's the whole body. We're all joined to Christ, and as we grow, we get closer and closer to Him. We're joined closer and closer to Him and get to be more and more like Him. That's what it's saying in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So as we grow spiritually, we would get more and more like Christ, okay? That's the goal, to be more and more like Jesus. We're like miniature, imperfect Jesuses out there in the world, is what God wants to develop. And then in verse 16 he says, and it's from the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's us, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. We have all different members and joints, just like our bodies have different members and joints, but it's all connected together, right? We're not an army of one. We're all connected together. Every joint, every ligament, every part is all connected together. And it's according to the proper working of each individual part that the growth is produced, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So as we act as Christians, as we walk according to our calling, as we do what Christ would have us do in our lives, we cause the whole body of Christ to grow. We cause God's kingdom to expand. And this is what he's talking about here. And we think of, okay, this is organization. There are different parts fitting in. And what happens? We live in a world where we think about corporations and that sort of thing, and businesses, and everybody has a job. Okay, and actually in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about different people doing different stuff and having different gifts, just like parts of the body. But an organizational diagram is not the same thing as an organism, or a diagram of what an organism is like. And there's a difference, and it's deeper, and it's more important. And I'll give you an example of this, and maybe I can make this a little bit more clear. Did you ever feel like you weren't part of the church because you couldn't be a song leader, or because you weren't leading a prayer, or because you couldn't attend certain things, or you couldn't be a part of a certain committee for whatever reason? When you think about the church as being a superstructure of an organization, if you can't find yourself on an organizational chart, you start to think of us and them. Why don't they do something about this? Why doesn't so-and-so fix this? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? How come the bosses aren't doing this, that, or the other thing? Or why isn't so-and-so doing his job? And we start trying to fit ourselves into an organizational chart and see the kind of results that an organization has. And it's a flawed picture of the church. It's a flawed picture of the church. It gives us a distortion. First of all, it undermines the unity that we have with each other in spite of our organization or disorganization. We have a spiritual unity with each other because we all belong to Christ, and because we are brothers and sisters and children of God. Whether or not we're doing stuff, cleaning the building together or painting or doing other stuff, we are joined together on a spiritual basis, and we have a bond of love and a commitment of love to one another. A couple of examples I give and show the difference between this. When Brenda and I were in Texas, when I was first starting my ministry, we were newlyweds, and I was. It was sort of like an internship in a supporting congregation, and we were working with a family. I don't even remember the family's name, but they were poor, and we went to buy groceries for them. Brenda and I just went down to the grocery store and we started shopping, and you know we pulled out a turkey and a whole bunch of other things, and we got, you know, a week or so's worth of groceries. And one of the members, and you can't go to the grocery store without meeting a half dozen members of the church down there in Texas. And they said, "What are you doing?" And we said, "Well, we're getting some food together for a family we're working with who's poor." And they said, "You shouldn't be doing that. We have a benevolence committee." And they said, "Well, it's nice, and I'm glad you have a benevolence committee, but we're doing it. But it's the church's job." Well, we are the church. We're part of the church. We're members of the church. We're part of Christ's body. And heaven forbid that we should ever get the mindset to think that the only way the church can give to the poor is through the benevolence committee, that we can't, as individual members, reach into our pocket and buy something for somebody else. When you do something good for somebody else, it doesn't have to go through a benevolence committee to be the work of Christ. It doesn't have to be part of the official work of Christ, official work of the Oxford Hills Church of Christ, and get passed by the elders and all the rest of this stuff in order to be Christ working in you, in order for Christ's body to be working. It is every bit as much a work of God's people when you do what you know God wants you to do at the moment you can do it. And when we start thinking about the church as being some kind of corporation, we start to thinking, I got to ask the elders about this. I can't do that. Well, there's some things that you should ask the elders about. There is an element of organization we really need. Example, suppose somebody says, well, we really need to have this hall painted, right? And I'll supply the paint, and I'll supply the labor, and I'll do everything. And I think I'm going to make it chartreuse. And I'm personally of the opinion, if you have to look up in a dictionary what the color is, that it probably is not a good thing to put on our walls. But really, you do something like that, it affects everybody, doesn't it? And the last thing you want to do is to spend a whole lot of money on behalf of the church and gamble that everybody's going to like it. And you're not going to have somebody going, ooh! You know, it sort of makes me sick and dizzy if I come in here. And, I mean, there's some things that we need to coordinate, okay? So as an act of love for the whole congregation, we need to do certain things in an organized way, and we need things to do collectively, things that we need to agree on as a group. Okay, well, that's common sense, and that's an act of love, and that's the way it should be, right? The same thing is if we have a project that is so ambitious that we don't have the funds for it, and we want the church to pick up this project, well, this is something that we'll have to work in to all of the other church plans, and this is something you have to talk to the elders and deacons about in order to figure it out. But it makes sense. There is a level of organization, but to limit the activity of Christ, to limit our connection to Christ, to our being connected with an organization, is false. It's false, and we tend to think in terms of being disconnected with the body of Christ if we have that mindset. And so I one of the things that you can tell I'm excited about this, but it's something that we really need to get a handle on. We really do. And it's something that causes me to cringe sometimes if I hear a member of the church talking about why doesn't the church do something, and say, well, you are the church. Why aren't you saying, why aren't we doing something? You see, there's that disconnectedness. There's that idea that church is something that the pastors and the priests and the archbishops and all of this, we have to avoid that concept, like the plague. Yes, there's organization, but look at the book of Acts and some. Well, let's look at some examples about how the church worked and didn't work in the first century, and we'll get an idea how we could work better. I think we do better than the Corinthian church, but I don't think we did as well as the Jerusalem church. This is my own personal opinion. Maybe you'll see it in there somewhere, I hope. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2. And I just want to look at the Jerusalem church for a little while and the early church as it originally started. Pentecost Day, 3,000 people were baptized into Christ. They were forgiven. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were overwhelmed by God's gift in Christ. They knew that what they had been waiting for all of these centuries had arrived, and they were in rejoicing mode, gratitude mode, and they were together. In verse 42, Acts chapter 2, we see how they behaved. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and sharing with them all, as anyone may have had need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Look at what they were doing. I mean, in some ways, it's almost even an overcompensation and an exaggeration in that everybody was selling their stuff and putting it in a common pot. That wasn't a pattern that continued. But nevertheless, they had Christ in salvation in common, and they knew what they had, and their bond with each other was all the stronger because they knew what they had together. And what were they doing? They were getting together to worship together like we are right now, having the breaking of bread, the breaking of bread, the communion, and prayer, and song, and rejoicing in Christ, and fellowship in that sense. But they were also, what, in one another's homes, rejoicing in one another's homes, and they were sharing the good news of Christ. And they were doing all of this spontaneously. Where's the body life minister in all of this? You know, some churches hire a minister just to help people, to encourage people to meet one another's homes. Do you have to have an organization to be hospitable toward one another? Do we have to have an organization to reach out to one another in love and to spend time together? A handful of leaders can't provide all of the hospitality for the whole church. A handful of people can't do all of this, but we can, all of us together, working together, we can care about one another. And we don't have to have an official program in order to do it. You don't have to ask the elders if you want to have a couple of brothers and sisters, sisters in Christ, over for dinner, or if you want to meet together over at a restaurant and have a meal together, or have a cup of coffee down at the coffee shop. People were sharing with one another. There didn't have to be a benevolence committee. Who was the deacon of benevolence right here? They didn't have any, but they were sharing with one another. We didn't have to have. You don't have to have official permission to fix a widow's car or change her oil, or maybe to clean out the gutters of her house, or do innumerable things. And it's all part of Christ's body working. And it's Christ's body working in an organized, disorganized fashion. It's disorganized in the sense that there isn't any corporate structure. There was no corporate structure back then. There were the apostles and a bunch of guys preaching the gospel, teaching every day as loudly and as often as they could, talking about Jesus. Then there were a whole bunch of other people who were, wow, I got to tell my friends about this. And they started telling their friends about this. And they started bringing in their friends to these Bible classes and to the temple where the gospel was preached. And the church grew. Where was the minister of evangelism in all of this? Where was the door knocking program? Where was the, you know, where were the Jewel Miller room strips? They're not there. It was God's word and people who love God, who are part of Christ and wanted to share it. It was God's people who wanted to do what God wanted, wanted to be like Christ, and shared God's love with one another. it caught fire. The gospel caught fire in these people's hearts, and God transformed them. And this is an organic kind of organization. It's not a corporate organization, but an organic kind of organization. Nobody can talk to the friends that you have better than you can. Nobody relates to your relatives the way you relate to your relatives and friends. You're the only one. You may be the only church member in the business that you work in. You may be the only light that those people see all day long. And just to think that because you're not in the church building, you're not being part of the church or part of the work of the church, you've got it wrong. We're part of the church all of the time. When you deal with a client, you're God's man dealing with a client. You are a Christian dealing with a client. You are salt and light for that moment in that person's life. What is love? Love is seeking the other person's highest good. Our job as Christians is to walk as Christ walked and walk in love, right? What are the works of the church? Well, we've narrowed the works of the church into three categories, right? You can do it all sorts of ways, but typically, traditionally, the work of the church is evangelism and benevolence and edification. Well, if we're walking in Christ and letting Him transform us, well, what happens when we meet somebody who needs the gospel? We preach it. We tell them about it. No, we don't preach it like I preach, but you say, hey, you know, you really ought to know Jesus. Or would you like to have a Bible study? I've got some good stuff to share with you. That's what love does. When love encounters somebody who's hungry, what do? You give them a sandwich or a bag of groceries. When love encounters somebody who needs encouragement or direction or hope, what do? You put your arm around them and you encourage them. That's not part of an organizational chart. That's being part of Christ's body and being attached to Christ and having Christ live in you. And that's not to say that we're not supposed to work together on stuff. We do. The early church did too. But it's Christ in us all of the time that what is what God has called us for. And the bond between us and the action of God's church extends out through the whole week. And what you do during the week is service to Christ too. There are people here who have a ministry of sending cards to people. There are people here who have a ministry of giving blankets to people. There are people who have ministries of hiring people who are down and out. There are people who have a ministry of encouragement to people. I know these people. You know these people, but you may not know that they do these things. But Jesus does. Jesus does. And we need to be like that. What we have, we bring to the altar to Christ, and we take advantage of the opportunities we have and glorify Him in it. So let's start thinking in terms of our belonging to one another, and all that we have is on the table for Christ and Christ's use. And start looking out after one another and doing what we can for one another and for the people outside. That's my challenge to all of us. Let's start thinking in terms of us in all that we do. Let's start thinking in terms of we are Christ's body. We are the salt and light of the earth. And let's go out there and be that salt and be that light and reflect Christ in what we do and the love we show to the people around us. That's the work of the church. And somehow, I don't know whether God's going to be too awfully disappointed if we never get around to painting the windowsills here, if we get around to loving other people and loving one another better. I really do. So take that challenge. I'm being challenged by it. I can't say I've got it all down pat, but I tell you, we need to help one another and be pulling together in this direction. And that's my challenge for you today. If you need our prayers, if you want to learn more about Jesus and become a deeper part of what we're about, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.